This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, you don't want to miss this one. President Trump makes a major announcement on the Jewish state of Israel.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live.
If Israel was not on the Golan Heights, you know who would be there? The Iranian proxies, Hezbollah, would be right there. So this is a decision. The status quo is not being broken by Israel. The status quo is being broken by the Iranians who took control of Syria with the single purpose in mind to encroach on Israel.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The status quo since 1967 of Israel occupying that and not recognizing as having sovereignty over it has been the status we've been in. So what has been the change? One word, Iran. Iran has taken control of central and western Syria, and for the last 3 years has been encroaching on the security of the Israelis.
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Folks, this is a major announcement from the President of the United States and a major shift in U.S. foreign policy. And he did it, President Trump, in a preferred way, by Twitter, taking the world by surprise. When he announced, and I'm reading the tweet, we can put it up on the screen for people on Facebook and Periscope, that after 52 years, it is time for the United States to fully recognize Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights, which is of critical strategic and security importance to the state of Israel and regional stability. This comes, a short history, we'll go through it with Skip Ash, senior military analyst at the ACLJ. Israel captured the Golan Heights from Syria in 1967 during the Six-Day War. In 1981, Israel annexed the Golan Heights, and of course, the UN Security Council then came in and demanded that they saw that this was a completely illegal occupation and that it had no legal effect. It was null and void. Of course, Israel has continued to occupy the Golan Heights since 1967 and since that annexation. I want to bring Skip Ash in right away, Lieutenant Colonel, former Lieutenant Colonel. Skip, you served in our armed forces, the Pentagon, and across the country in Korea. You've done a lot of work with our office in Jerusalem on security. Let me just ask you this. The significance of the President of the United States backing Israel's right to the full Golan Heights as part of Israel.
I think it's very significant. Remember, Israel has no strategic depth militarily, and it has been attacked from 1948 to 1967. It was being attacked continually from the Golan Heights, with the Syrians firing into the Hula Valley, which is that finger of land between 7 and 8 miles wide that goes north of the Sea of Galilee from Tiberias. And on one side was Lebanon, on the other side was Syria, and the Syrians were constantly doing that. In 1967, the Syrians attacked Israel from the Golan Heights, and in 1973, they tried to do it again. And therefore, Israel absolutely needs the Golan Heights for strategic protection and provide strategic depth. And that's, so I think this is a world changer, so to speak, because I think if the United States moves this way, it makes sense, as General Keane was speaking earlier. I think this is exactly what Israel needs, and I think this will legitimize their presence there, which is needed for their defense.
I mean, listen to what Senator Lindsey Graham said. The Golan was used by Syria in two wars of aggression against Israel. Additionally, Syria's Assad, Iran, and Hezbollah need to pay a price for dismembering Syria. To return the Golan Heights to Syria would be to reward aggression and put the Jewish state at perpetual risk. President Trump's decision to recognize the Golan as part of Israel is strategically wise. And overall, this is from Lindsey Graham. Awesome. Well done, Mr. President, from Lindsey Graham. Folks, we've got that office in Jerusalem, ACLJ Jerusalem, fully staffed with attorneys. Skip's there a lot. We've got our Israeli attorneys there as well. It's a great time to support the work that we do in Israel when there's these major announcements. When you support the ACLJ, you're supporting that office, ACLJ Jerusalem. Donate today online at aclj.org. It's our matching challenge month, and your donation is doubled. So you can donate double the support to our office in Israel by donating online at aclj.org. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. Do we have the sound from Mike Pompeo talking to Chris Mitchell at CBN? We have that ready to go. This is, again, because the president tweeted out that now is the time after 52 years, I'll read it again, for the United States to fully recognize Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights, which is of critical strategic and security importance to the state of Israel and regional stability. Now, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who I got to know very well when he was a member of Congress, he's very well respected. He was the CIA director, now Secretary of State. He sat down with our good friends at CBN News, Chris Mitchell, who's on this broadcast a lot, who's their CBN News correspondent, head of their broadcasting in Israel. He sat down with Chris Mitchell and talked about this decision in a faithful way, too. Take a listen. I think this is so important to listen to. From Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, it shows you the kind of leaders President Trump is putting in power. The Secretary of State, many say, is the second most important position in the federal government. Take a listen.
2,500 years later, there's a new Haman here in the Middle East that wants to eradicate the Jewish people just like Haman did the state of Iran. Could it be that President Trump right now has been sort of raised for such a time as this, just like Queen Esther, to help save the Jewish people from an Iranian menace?
As a Christian, I certainly believe that's possible.
I mean, and he goes on to say, and do we have the longer bite as well? He goes on to say, you know, it's also about, you know, preserving this state of Israel. I'll play that for the full bite for you too, because I think it's important to note who we've got in our government, why it's important to support this administration. Take a listen. This is Mike Pompeo again discussing how important it is. I mean, this is our Secretary of State. Listen to the last line he uses. I mean, it puts a smile on my face to know that Mike Pompeo is our Secretary of State. Take a listen.
We were down in the tunnels where we could see 3,000 years ago and 2,000 years ago, if I have the history just right, to see the remarkable history of the faith in this place and the work that our administration has done to make sure that this democracy in the Middle East of this Jewish state remains. I'm confident that the Lord is at work here.
You know, I want to go to Colonel Ash. Skip, to hear that from our Secretary of State, a former CIA director who is talking to our good friends at CBN News. You're at their campus right now, where ACLJ office is in Virginia Beach. And he ends that statement with Chris Mitchell as, quote, "I'm confident that the Lord is at work here. I mean, it just underscores to me the kind of people that President Trump has put in positions of power to lead our country's foreign policy.
I agree. I think this is why he has such support from the evangelicals, because we also believe that God is active in the affairs of men even today, and Israel is that place, at least in biblical history and in biblical eschatology, where everything is going to be focusing on Jerusalem, a cup of trembling. As people gather against Israel, and the Old Testament tells it clearly, those who bless you, I will bless, and those who curse you, I will curse. And the United States now is blessing Israel, and I think we can expect God's blessing because he's faithful. But I'm delighted to hear Christians speak about this. I'm delighted that it's Christian leaders who are supporting Israel, and I just wish more of them would read their Bibles and realize that Israel is not the enemy. Israel is God's chosen people, and we better be on the right side of history.
I mean, Mike Pompeo talks about all the work that the administration has done to make sure that this democracy in the Middle East, that this Jewish state remains. Remember the move from the capital of Jerusalem, the recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. That was a major point, Skip. And what you do with these kind of situations, like with this announcement on the Golan Heights, I do want to take your phone calls about this present support for Israel, taking this bold move, saying it's time for the Golan Heights to be recognized as part of Israel. Remember, he also recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Finally, after every Republican and Democrat president passed the buck on that, he did it, and then is building an international coalition of other countries who are doing it. Skip, that would be the way to go on this, too. We first acknowledge that this is Israel's, and then we get a coalition of other countries who agree that the Golan Heights is part of Israel to counter the UN.
Absolutely. And when you consider what's going on in Syria now with the Iranians and so forth, it becomes even more strategic. Let's remember, from up until 1967, the farmers in Israel, northern Israel, had to plow their fields with armored plows, with armored tractors. They had to sleep in underground bunkers during the night because of shelling. They had to plant huge trees by the sides of roads to help interdict people firing at vehicles, buses, and everything else going up and down. And we have to remember that the Syrians controlled the headwaters out of the Banias, where 20% of Israel's water comes from, and the Syrians had threatened to divert that water. And the military, having the high ground, is always critical, and the Golan Heights towered above the state of Israel. So having captured that, that gives back the advantage to Israel, and they need it, and the Syrians are such an unstable and hostile power that this provides extra warning and extra depth for the Israelis to be able to defend themselves.
Yeah, I mean, take a listen to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu about full backing, this need to protect Israel, this area which is so critical to build a barrier between what is now a destabilized, ruined Syria, and we haven't even gotten to the fact that ISIS has lost its final stronghold. President Trump and the U.S. military and our coalition partners have defeated ISIS' final town that they controlled, so the caliphate has been destroyed. Of course, the terror threat remains from Islamic radicalism, but the caliphate has officially been destroyed, and that barely got any news yesterday. We're going to get into that, but listen to Prime Minister Netanyahu talking about how important this decision was from President Trump.
We appreciate the fact that the United States gives Israel the full backing to defend ourselves against Iranian aggression. I want to use this opportunity and say that we will continue to take action as needed against the attempts of Iran to entrench itself militarily with dangerous weapons in Syria. There is no limitation to our freedom of action, and we appreciate very much the fact that the United States backs up our actions as we do them.
You know, I think what's important to point out, too, is that this week in Washington, D.C. is AIPAC, the American Israel Political Action Committee. It's not a PAC. It's a committee, a policy committee. And it is, again, a lot of people get it confused with the Political Action Committee. It is not. There is not a single Democrat candidate running for president who has agreed to speak at AIPAC this year. Now, in the past, we saw President Barack Obama or at least Vice President Biden. We saw Hillary Clinton. So it was very bipartisan. And I will say, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are going, but they're not on the ballot. They're not the ones running to lead the free world and decide our foreign policy. The ones who are on the Democrat side are not attending. Even some who attended before, like Kamala Harris last year, who spoke at APEC, she's not this year. So far, not a single Democrat candidate for president in 2020 has agreed to speak at APEC. None of them are on the schedule. Could that change? Sure, it could change. But right now, none of them are on the schedule to speak. Here's who'll be speaking from the Trump administration. Vice President Pence will be at APEC. The U.S. Ambassador to Israel, Ambassador Friedman, will be speaking at APEC. And Elliot Abrams from the Trump administration will all be speaking at APEC. And I have a feeling President Trump probably did a video for APEC, and Prime Minister Netanyahu probably did the same thing. He's got elections coming up close there. So likely a video from President Trump. I'm not 100% sure, but he's sending top-level officials like the Vice President of the United States. President Trump just landed in Florida. Take a listen to what he said about the new Democrat Party and their position on Israel. He literally is speaking to the press as we are on the air on the tarmac in Florida, Byte 16.
The Democrats have very much proven to be anti-Israel. There's no question about that. And it's a disgrace. I mean, I don't know what's happened to them, but they are totally anti-Israel. Frankly, I think they're anti-Jewish.
You know, I want to go to Skip Ash on this because, Skip, you put it all together. The Ilhan Omars, the Rashida Tlaibs, the statements that come from them, the anti-Semitism that has come from them. The lack of the Democrat Party doing anything about it, really, and the censure that was not really a censure at all, and these fake apologies. And now not a single 2020 Democrat presidential candidate going to even speak at APEC, which is a bipartisan event that invites all the candidates to speak and has a lot of Democrat members as well who would like to hear from those Democrat candidates on Israel. And yet, as the president said, it just they are at least putting off the appearance, Skip, just very quickly, that they are anti-Israel and maybe anti-Jewish.
Well, at least they're recognizing that there are enough people within the Democratic ranks that feel that way that they don't want to take a chance. And that says a lot when the presidential candidates of a party admit that they won't take a chance because the people who will vote for them are fundamentally anti-Israel.
All right, folks, when we come back, we are going to continue to take your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. When you're voting in 2020, how important is the issue of standing with Israel to you? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. How important is Israel to you when you cast your vote? We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. There's a lot to talk about today. The president recognizing the Golan Heights as part of Israel. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo making strong statements in support of Israel, even going so far as to say that he is confident, quote, that the Lord is at work here when he was speaking. That's our Secretary of State speaking to CBN News' Chris Mitchell, a good friend of ours who's on the broadcast. We have AIPAC this week, and not a single Democrat running for president. Not a single Democrat running for president will be speaking at AIPAC. The Trump administration is sending people like Vice President Pence, Elliot Abrams, the Ambassador Friedman, who's the U.S. Ambassador to Israel, Ambassador David Satterfield, who's the Acting Assistant Secretary of State for Near East Affairs. I mean, so a whole host of individuals. President Trump may have done a video. Prime Minister Netanyahu probably did one, too. The fact is, though, Kamala Harris spoke at it last time around, but not this time around. Shows you how much there's been a shift. We're going to get right into that in just a minute, so keep calling in about this issue, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And again, the AIPAC is the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. Their big meeting in Washington, remember, they're the group that's come under attack from Ilhan Omar and these anti-Semites in Congress. Rashida Tlaib is some kind of dual loyalty and all of that. So we're going to get into that. But I do want to give you this update on Pastor Saw. You saw, we've played for it for people. You were at the United Nations. CeCe Howell's with us now. CeCe, tell us, what did you do at the UN on behalf of Pastor Saw, and how did his wife also participate?
Yes. So at the UN on March 15th, we were able to present an oral intervention, and actually his wife, Jamie, was able to present that on behalf of Pastor Saw, just demanding that the UN take action and help in secure his release. During that same time, actually, United States senators and congressmen sent a letter to President Trump on Pastor Saw's behalf, asking President Trump to intervene and secure his release. And then we also were able to meet with the Working Group on Arbitrary Detention while we were in Geneva and just present again the case that the Working Group will be taking up for him.
We just played it for our Facebook and Periscope audience. I don't know if we have any of it cut down for radio. Let's play it for people. This is Pastor Saw's wife traveling all the way to Geneva, speaking before all these ambassadors. CeCe, I've done it before. You've done it before at the UN Human Rights Council. It's intense. You don't know exactly when you're going to get to go. And when you go, the president of the Human Rights Council acknowledges you, and it's your time to start. And it's a kind of hostile place when you're bringing up countries like China on human rights violations. Certainly hostile to the U.S. often, very hostile to Israel. And you could say, into the Western world sometimes, which is, again, it's the Human Rights Council, but it's the United Nations. Now, we're right. Able to do this because our European Center for Law and Justice is recognized by the UN, and that's important, CeCe.
Yes, the ECLJ, European Center for Law and Justice, has NGO status at the UN, and so we're able to do these submissions because of that status. And what's amazing is when we take our clients over there, just like we were able to do for Pastor Brunson, when they sit there and you start to hear a family member give these interventions, like you said, you've been there before, you know, I've been there before, it's stadium seating, and people are listening to the audio and they're facing forward. But when a family member speaks, you literally see the member states turn around and look at this impassioned plea, and that's what we're going to hear from Jamie, Pastor Saw's wife.
Yeah, here you go. This is Jamie Saw speaking at the UN Human Rights Council just this week on her husband's unlawful imprisonment in China because of his Christian faith. Take a listen.
I am here today on behalf of my husband, Pastor Saul San Chang, a lawful permanent resident of the United States who for the past 2 years has been wrongfully imprisoned for simply living out his faith in China. I know my husband is only a wife can. He is not a criminal. He is a peaceful, caring pastor and humanitarian worker who has a compassionate heart. His humanitarian efforts in China are so well respected that even the Chinese government has previously recognized and rewarded them. This is why his imprisonment for these same efforts is so absurd. We traveled to China to try to see my husband, but my sons and I have not been allowed to see or speak with him directly. His health is deteriorating and he has lost over 50 pounds. He is confined to a crowded cell and waits for an appeal hearing that the court repeatedly and unjustly delays. Last year, my husband reflected on his imprisonment and wrote, "Like the Apostle Paul, I have learned how to live a rich and simple life. Now I live a free life even though I am without freedom. As long as the name of Jesus can be proclaimed, the bitterness of the flesh and blood not worth mentioning. But 2 years of suffering, sir, is too long. I am here today with the support of over 150,000 individuals from 162 countries and territories who have signed a petition to plead for the freedom of my husband. I respectfully ask that you make all efforts to secure his release and safe return to the United States to be reunited with our family. Thank you."
If you're just hearing that and you're not on our Facebook and Periscope feed, it is powerful. You can tell in her tone, in Jamie Saw's tone, the toll it's taken on the family and how serious this is. For 2 years, not being able to see her husband, barely able to communicate through lawyers and sons who have not been able to see their father. They traveled there, couldn't see him. And then again, this is an important date today, Cece. You're now back in the U.S. from Geneva. Right. Today was supposed to be an important date for Pastor Saw. And again, China did the wrong thing.
Yes. As you heard in Jamie's appeal, she said he's, you know, sitting imprisoned waiting for his appeal hearing, which was set for today, March 22nd. But China, the court continues to unjustly delay this appeal hearing. So they're not giving Pastor Saw even his day in court. So now that appeal hearing, which was supposed to be heard today, has been moved to May 22nd.
Okay. So the appeal, again, delay, typical from China. But we've got members of Congress now on the record. We know the administration, we've gotten this, the top of the administration, I will say it that way, to President Trump, Vice President Pence, I know about this. But members of Congress have signed on to a letter as well. Tell people about that.
Yes, so a bicameral letter was sent during the same time while we're in Geneva, bringing this to President Trump's attention from Congress.
Right.
The whole North Carolina delegation signed on, which was great because Pastor Saw, of course, is from North Carolina, and so is Jamie, his wife, and his sons. And it's a letter just demanding that President Trump, asking for his involvement, that Pastor Saw needs medical attention, and ultimately to be released.
Now, because of our success with Pastor Andrew Brunson, when you were in at the UN in Geneva, you also met with the group on arbitrary detention.
Yes.
Tell people about that, because we've had success there.
Yes.
Which isn't easy. They have so many requests, and right. I think now we're becoming a trusted source for them.
Yes. So the working group on arbitrary detention, as you can imagine, gets tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of requests from people all over the world who are being arbitrarily detained, arrested, and detained, and so they can only hear about 50 of those cases. They took the case on Pastor Brunson. We were able to sit down and meet with them personally. We had already submitted the questionnaire. So, you know, we have every confidence that they're going to take this case and send China questionnaires that China has to respond to. And it's very effective.
You know, folks, the way we can have our office in Jerusalem, the way CC can be with our European Center team based in France at Geneva with Pastor Saw's wife making that oral intervention, the reason we have that NGO status is because of your financial support to the ACLJ, that we can cover all of this, do all of this work, and then bring it to you in radio format to tell you about it. Because of your donations, because of your support to the American Center for Law and Justice. And this month, we have a matching challenge. Whatever you donate is double. So donate today. We need your support. ACLJ.org. Make that donation and double your impact. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Folks, it's a big day for Israel, the United States, and President Trump making a strong statement. This is so important for the Jewish state of Israel, saying that it's time, after 52 years, for the U.S. to fully recognize Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights, which is so critical to Israel's security. And we're going to get into that, 1-800-684-3110. It's at a time when the Democrat Party is not sending any of their declared presidential candidates to go speak at AIPAC, the largest bipartisan gathering in Washington, D.C., of pro-Israel Americans and supporters. It's usually very bipartisan. It's a very bipartisan group. It's not conservative or liberal. I mean, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are speaking at it, but no one running for president on the Democrat ticket has agreed to speak. That's different than in the past. Hillary Clinton would speak. Barack Obama as president would speak. Kamala Harris last year spoke, but now that she's a candidate for president, she's not speaking. AIPAC is the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. It's not a political action committee, as Ilhan Omar thought it was, giving out donations to everyone. I think that I asked that question, how important is it for you when you cast that vote in 2020 that President Trump has made all these moves? The Capitol is now Jerusalem, recognized by the U.S., Israel's capital, Jerusalem, and we're getting other countries to follow that lead with us, building a coalition of countries that recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. President Trump was the first president to do that. Others had the opportunity, both Republican and Democrat, and were not willing to do so. He was. He recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. He moved our embassy to Jerusalem. He also has now recognized the Golan Heights and as part of Israel, and now we will build the coalition. I want to take your phone calls. This is a short part of the show, and we get back and we'll get more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110, because I don't want to miss this either. The caliphate, ISIS's government structure, where they ran the towns and cities and had so much territory they controlled, has been destroyed. And this is not the number one news story in the world right now, but it has been destroyed. Now, there's still a threat from terrorism, Islamic terrorism, and potentially even ISIS terrorism like Al-Qaeda style, but the caliphate that they were so proud of is no more. Take a listen to President Trump.
When I took over, it was a mess. They were all over the place, all over Syria and Iraq, and you'd see it was a sea of red. And now you look at it, and there's no red. No red. That's as of today. This is ISIS. There's none. The caliphate is gone as of tonight.
And that's right. In Baghouz, Syria, that was the last stronghold of the ISIS caliphate. It crumbled. The final offensive is over. And now you've heard confirmation from the president that ISIS, there is no more as a caliphate. That does not mean that there is not still a threat from radical Islamic terrorism. Of course there is. But let me go back to Skip talking about the Golan Heights move. This great news about the ISIS caliphate falling and how quickly it fell once the Trump administration changed some rules of engagement and really got to work working with some of our partners and allies on the ground there, destroying ISIS' ability to take and govern territory. That is over with. It underscores the reason why the Golan Heights needs to be part of Israel, because Syria and their government there has fallen into a disaster zone, a mess. And Israel doesn't deserve to have to deal with that right up on its border.
Exactly. What Syria has done since the civil war began is they have invited in Iranian forces and Hezbollah forces from Lebanon. So these are foreign forces on Syrian soil, and they're allowing them to get nearer and nearer and nearer to the border with Israel. And the border with Israel now is 38 miles farther away from the previous border of Israel, because Israel now controls the Golan Heights. So the taking of the Golan Heights and holding it and making it part, recognizing it's part of Israel, is a wonderful gift to Israel and a strategic gift to Israel and the United States. I'm very proud to be an American that we did it first.
Absolutely. I am so proud of our president, so proud to be an American that we're standing with Israel this way. Call us 1-800-684-3110. Your support for Israel, these moves by the Trump administration, the fall of ISIS. 1-800-684-3110. We want to talk to you.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We will start taking your phone calls right now. I know we've covered a lot because there's so much big news. I mean, think about the news, and we're going to get back to Israel, that the ISIS caliphate has been destroyed. I mean, the ISIS caliphate. We wrote that book, The Rise of ISIS. We had these many commentators from the Obama administration saying it would be a decades-long fight because they were ruling all this territory. Let me just remind you that the caliphate that ISIS controlled at one time was an empire that ruled over 8 million people. 8 million people. It was down to one town in Baghouz, Syria, and that town has now been liberated. They no longer have a caliphate. They no longer have any place where ISIS flags are flying. They do not govern. They do not oversee the schools, the legal branch, the executions. That doesn't mean their fighters can't be a threat, whether they're returning to their home countries and their leadership has kind of fled. I'm assuming, I'll go to Skip Ashley this quickly. Skip, with their leadership like Abu Baghdadi and others kind of fleeing before this happened, assuming they're in places that are friendly to groups like ISIS, and there's a handful of those in the country, and maybe they try to become like an al-Qaeda-style group because the caliphate is no more.
Well, that's what he's going to try to do. That's all he can try to do. But his legitimacy and his believableness is gone because, you know, he said, I am the caliph and I'm going to establish the caliphate. And so we're going to go from here. We're going to expand. And sooner or later, we're going to take over the world, which was his apocalyptic vision. And now he's been destroyed in a matter of 2 years by this president who went in and said, going to focus. We're going to destroy him. And they have destroyed him. It doesn't mean some of his followers won't come back and do isolated acts of terror, but sure, it does mean that the legitimacy and the believability of this gentleman is absolutely destroyed. And he had encouraged so many people to come out of the woodwork and say, okay, this is the sign of the future, and they joined him, and now he's been an utter failure.
Sharon's called in from California online for... If you want to talk to us on air, call us 1-800-684-3110. The defeat of ISIS, the support for Israel, this great move by President Trump. Sharon, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, with President Trump's declaration regarding the Golan Heights,
yep,
what does this immediately and physically mean for Israel? how does the UN get moved out? How do they actually take control of this ground?
Well, they already have sovereignty to some. I want to play first, because you asked, what does this mean for Israel? Take a listen to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. I think he made it very clear about how important this is for the Jewish state of Israel, how thankful he is for President Trump, our president. And as Skip said, proud to be an American on these days, proud of our president on these days. Take a listen to Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel.
President Trump has just made history. I called him. I thanked him on behalf of the people of Israel. He did it again. First, he recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital and moved the U.S. embassy here. Then he pulled out of the disastrous Iran treaty and reimposed sanctions. But now he did something of equal historic importance. He recognized Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights. And he did so at a time when Iran is trying to use Syria as a platform to attack and destroy Israel.
So to go to us, I'll go to Skip now. I mean, I think that kind of underscored, Skip, what we were talking about. One, the praise, and Benjamin Netanyahu said it great with, President Trump's done it again. First, it was recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital, moving the embassy here, pulling out of the Iran deal, which was disastrous, and reimposing sanctions on Iran, and now recognizing Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights at a time when that you've got Iran trying to use Syria as a platform to a place to launch attacks on Israel. They put Syria, and Assad has let Hezbollah in. They've let the Iranian military in, the Revolutionary Guard in. But to explain, the Golan Heights was annexed by Israel in 81, taken in 1967 during the Six-Day War when Israel was attacked. How does it work right now in the Golan Heights? Is Israel under complete control, or is there still some UN peacekeeping action going on?
Well, Israel's under complete control of the territory that they captured. There is a sort of a no man's land between Syrian territory and the Golan Heights occupied by Israel, and I have no reason to believe that that's going to change. These UN forces patrol there just trying to keep the two sides apart, although every time it gets hot, they withdraw into Israel. They never withdraw into Syria, so they know where the stability is and where the protection is.
Yeah, so again, I mean, this has an immediate impact. To have President Trump did not need congressional authorization to do this. It's a statement of support, and it's to build a coalition then of other world leaders who will do this. There is legislation, and I want to give credit to Ted Cruz and Senator Lindsey Graham as well, and they've been very strong in their support of President Trump's move here. Senator Lindsey Graham going so far as saying it's awesome what he did on the Golan Heights. I think it's awesome too. But they want to push legislation to recognize this as well, so that it's not just the president, but it's the entire American government. But I think it's important to note the president can set this stage and then work with other world leaders, just like we're doing on the capital of Jerusalem being the capital of Israel, building a coalition of countries that now recognize Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights. Let's go to Ron calling in from South Carolina on line one. And if you want to talk to us on the air, lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. Not a single Democrat going to support Israel this week in Washington, D.C. at AIPAC. How will that impact your vote in 2020? How does Israel impact your vote when you vote for president, when you vote for senators and House members and down ballot races? 1-800-684-3110. And how proud of you? How proud are you of our president? Are you as proud and as happy as Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Ron, calling in from South Carolina, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Great. Glad to have you. Thanks for taking my call, guys. One thing I can say, Jordan, this is very exciting news, not only because of the fact that there's been a lot of questions as far as the Golan Heights with this peace plan that will be revealed after the Israeli elections. But Trump clearly stated on Twitter today that he is siding with the people. He's siding with the Golan Heights. So that should let people know, and have a little more certainty, especially the real American patriots that support Israel, let them know that that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're a supporter of Israel, there hasn't been a president in recent history And I mean, I worked for President George W. Bush, who's a strong supporter of Israel, but he didn't recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Certainly, he worked together with security for Israel and had a good relationship with Israel. I don't think Barack Obama was a strong supporter of Israel. I think he did it only for political purposes, and so he showed up at things like AIPAC and tried to declare that, you know, 67 borders had to be returned to. By the way, this would do with that, Skip, because no more 67 borders if the Golan Heights is recognized as Israel's.
Oh, that's exactly right, especially with respect to Syria. Remember, after the 67 war, Israel went to Syria and said, if you're willing to make peace, we will return this land to you. And they said, absolutely not.
Yeah. After being beaten.
That's correct.
And they tried again, Skip, right, in 1973?
Right, 1973, the Yom Kippur War. They attacked on the holiest day in the Israeli calendar, where there were no televisions, there were no radios, nothing was on. They attacked when they knew that Israel would be the weakest throughout the year, and they had some initial successes. They almost reoccupied most of the Golan Heights until the Israelis mounted their forces and pushed them back even farther than they had in 1967, although they didn't keep that extra land because it was just too hard to defend.
I want to take more of your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, to talk to us on air. How proud of you of our president taking this action for Israel. Take a listen to Prime Minister Netanyahu. Karen, John, we're going to get to your calls right after this segment. We've only got a minute left, so right when we come back, we're going to get to your calls. And keep calling. We want to take all the calls we can in the next segment, 1-800-684-3110. And how exciting is it that we have defeated the ISIS caliphate? 1-800-684-3110. Listen to Prime Minister Netanyahu again about the message that President Trump has sent to the world.
And the message that President Trump has given the world is that America stands by Israel. We're celebrating Purim when 2,500 years ago, other Persians, led by Haman, tried to destroy the Jewish people. They fell then. And today, 2,500 years later, again, Persians led by Khomeini are trying to destroy the Jewish people and the Jewish state. They're going to fail again.
They are going to fail again. And remember, that is the Book of Esther, the story of Haman and the celebration of Purim. When Haman wanted to was advising the king to kill all of the Jews. And that whole message for such a time as this, that Esther was in place. You have to think about that with President Trump, too. I think that's what Mike Pompeo was talking about. Someone strong enough and willing enough to make these decisions on behalf of America for the Jewish state of Israel. And President Trump has led the charge on that, and he's been recognized by it. So we'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
If I can say all of this in one day of news. The President of the United States has recognized the Golan Heights as part of Israel. The first president to do that. The first world leader to do that. So I'm proud to be an American, like Skip Ash said, who's our senior military counsel, joining me today on the broadcast, a former colonel in the U.S. military. Proud to be an American, proud of President Trump, that he is the first world leader and first American president to recognize Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights. He was also the first president and first world leader to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and now other countries have followed suit. We've moved our embassy there. He was also the first world leader to pull out of the horrendous Iranian nuclear deal, which put Israel in danger. So, and by the way, it didn't take decades to defeat the ISIS caliphate. As of today, listen to President Trump, read the news reports. The final town that ISIS controlled in Syria as its caliphate has been liberated. ISIS is a caliphate no more. Take a listen.
When I took over, it was a mess. They were all over the place, all over Syria and Iraq. And you'd see it was a sea of red. And now you look at it and there's no red. No red. That's as of today. This is ISIS. There's none. The caliphate is gone as of tonight.
That can send chills down your spine when you really think about the threat, the brutality of ISIS. Remember how they treated Christians, how they treated people, children even, women, the slavery, the horrendousness of ISIS. And we should not forget this victory. Of course, the Democrats want us to, but we're not going to allow that. Let's go right to the phones. That's what we do in this segment. Charlene in Oklahoma on line one. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just want to say, first of all, praise the Lord. And then second of all, thank you for our president who has done a great thing for Israel. I am so proud. I'm choked up about it because it is just wonderful.
Well, I agree with you, Charlene. I mean, I think that it's kind of overwhelming, right? I mean, if you're still there, it's overwhelming even to someone like me who follows the news how much was coming in at one time. The defeat of the ISIS caliphate, recognizing the Golan Heights as part of Israel. I mean, all of this happening simultaneously, it is really unbelievable, Charlene.
It is. It is so amazing, and I'm so proud of our president. I'm proud to be an American, and I just thank you guys for keeping us informed. Thank you so much.
Yep. Let me go to John in Washington State on line three. John, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thanks for taking my call. I want to echo that the same sentiments that lady expressed. And I, too, am so proud of our president. I'm proud to be an American and proud that we are standing strong for Israel and the sovereignty of Israel.
You know, I agree with you. I think that we are seeing unprecedented support for Israel from any administration in our history. Skip, would you agree with that? That this is the strongest support for Israel up front, direct, not behind the scenes, from any administration in U.S. history, Republican or Democrat?
Absolutely. What our president has a backbone, and he is true to his word. If he promises something, he tries his best to carry it out. And when he said he was going to do certain things like move our embassy to Jerusalem, he did it. And I think that's significant, and that's something we can be proud of. Most politicians promise all sorts of things in the run-up to the election, and then they get elected, and they forget those things. This president has not done that, and I'm very proud of him for that reason.
I mean, think about it. You know, Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, pulling out of the Iranian nuclear deal, recognizing the Golan Heights as part of Israel, and not afraid of UN condemnation or Syrian or Iranian threats. Because look what we did to ISIS. Let's not forget that. The caliphate is destroyed. As of today, the president has announced, and the news has reported, they were on the ground. The final town that they held with the ISIS flags is gone. So there is no more caliphate. There's still a threat from a potential threat from ISIS's former fighters. I don't even know what to call them anymore at this moment. But the caliphate has been destroyed. This is a wonderful day to celebrate if you're a supporter of Israel and a supporter of freedom and liberty. Karen calling in from New York online too. Karen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. First of all, praise God and thank God. And thank God for you guys. Just like Charlie joking up.
No problem.
I am also, I am so proud of this president.
Yep.
And all I can say to the Democrats is that it's too bad you guys don't know your Bible. Because in the Abrahamic covenant says, I will bless those who bless thee. And that means thee, Israel.
Yep.
And I will curse those who curse thee. So, Democrats, you don't have a chance.
Yeah, God, well, you know what's interesting, Karen? Genesis 12:3, as you quote. And you know, I tend to agree with you with the Democrats running away from AIPAC, and we're going to take another call that kind of gets into this, Karen. But this, the emotion that I'm hearing from you is the same. Listen, I'm feeling that kind of emotion. I'm trying to keep it together on radio. But when I hear this from Secretary of State Pompeo, I'm playing it again. Because as a Christian, as someone who has so much respect for Mike Pompeo, as a member of Congress, as CIA director, as Secretary of State, when he was doing this interview on CBN News with Chris Mitchell, a good friend of ours, and just listen to that final sentence. It again is so important to me that this is who President Trump picked to lead the State Department to replace Rex Tillerson, who was not doing a great job, but Mike Pompeo, who is. Take a listen.
We were down in the tunnels where we could see 3,000 years ago and 2,000 years ago, if I have the history just right. To see the remarkable history of the faith in this place and the work that our administration has done to make sure that this democracy in the Middle East of this Jewish state remains, I'm confident that the Lord is at work here.
Confident that the Lord is at work here. That is the U.S. Secretary of State. He's being mocked right now in mainstream media about this. Okay? So pray for Mike Pompeo. And you know, send those notes of prayer that, you know, you're standing with him in those kind of statements, that he's confident the Lord is at work here, that it's not just up to men's decisions and tweets and statements, but that there's something bigger happening here when you have this administration putting the right people in place, a president who is not afraid to stand up for what is right when it comes to Israel. I mean, you put it all together. It is, again, if you are a supporter of Israel, you cannot ask for anything more. Let me go to Sue. Final call of the day in North Carolina on line four. Sue, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you so much for what you do. And I believe with all my heart that our president is just a godsend for our country. And my question is, I know the Jewish community in the United States traditionally votes Democrat. Do you feel like this would encourage them to switch allegiance and start voting for the Republicans?
I think what might happen is maybe not so much in the local elections like House and Senate. You still have, like, Nancy Pelosi's going to AIPAC, Chuck Schumer's going to AIPAC. But on the presidential side, the fact that not a single Democrat presidential candidate so far that's declared, so that's a whole big list of people, none of them is speaking at the largest bipartisan pro-Israel event of the year in Washington, D.C. this week. Not one of them. So, I mean, I think that sends a pretty clear message to Jewish voters who care about Israel. Not all of them, that's their top issue, but for those who do, it sends a pretty clear message. So it may not change the down ballot races as much, because Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, the old school Democrats, will still go to AIPAC and try to say that they support Israel too. But those who are running to lead the Democrat Party and lead the country have all decided to turn their backs on the largest bipartisan pro-Israel event in Washington, D.C. this week. I think that's very telling. Support the work of the ACLJ Matching Challenge. We need your donations, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at